up our Talk Up podcast. If you don't know about it, now you know.
Hey, you got something to say?
One topic, two options.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to say. Welcome to episode
106.
Unwanted emotions triggered by mental illness. We are making live phone calls to our guests on today's episode. We will be speaking to
Yama Room 109 podcast and the Be Well Sis podcast.
And do remember that there will be additional episodes in regards to this topic. So we ask that you listen to them all. Each episode will have four new speakers.
Who are we speaking to, you might ask? Well, we had the chance to speak to licensed counselors, social workers, podcasters, religious leaders, motivational speakers, and individuals who were willing to share their journey with mental illness. We ask that you listen up and you listen closely. If you want to be a part of the next discussion in regards to mental health, please email us at shutuportalkup@gmail.com. Oh yeah, listen to the next caller right now.
Right.
It's not supposed to happen. Rape is not okay.
Right.
Sexual assault is not okay. Someone bothering you or harassing you is not okay.
Right.
And the fact that I can't speak on it without someone saying it was your fault, it makes no one want to speak on it. So with that being, so after that you go into a lot of women go into being very promiscuous and, okay, validation from men. And it's interesting because the episode and how the girls talk, and I was talking about how a lot of females are told that they get their hair done for men. They do this for men. They want validation for men. And I was kind of telling, like, yo, if you're not paying for the, if you're giving me a suggestion or a suggestion or a recommendation for something that you want me to do as a woman, unless you're paying for it, I'm not doing it.
Well, so do you, with this whole idea that, you know, okay, so there's a big group of people that are into being impressive. So if you grew up in a household where you're taught to be impressive, or you're taught that you got to find a man, you got to look this way so the man can want you, or even for certain money, so the women are going to want you, or you got to have this kind of car so women are going to want you. So I think society kind of placed these thoughts into people's minds, and then everybody just run with it and becomes a monster, because and then it also affects mental health. It affects your mental health. It affects your relationships. It affects how you communicate, because we're now taught to look for superficial things to validate our emotions, or look for superficial things to say, okay, you look cute, you good, or okay, now you want me to jump, how high, you know, instead of understanding that the core is important. If you are a woman and you've experienced so many damaging relationships, or if you are a man and, you know, I know a lot of women that experience so many damaging relationships, and people don't realize that shit is real. Like, people get depressed over that, you know, they just, you know, lose it. When you find yourself going into the same cycle with the same types of person, or however that is, that does mess with your mental. And so, yeah,
it's all about learning to unlove those things, learning to unlove that. I always say mental stems from home. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate of generational trauma and unloving what you were taught in your home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that I've realized and I ran into tell me that they come from broken homes, where mommy and daddy live together, but all mommy and daddy ever does is yell at each other. So when I get into a relationship, friendship, whatever, I'm taught to express my feelings by cussing and fussing at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are not taught to talk about how they feel. Or a lot of people are not used to being validated feeling how they feel. So they become passive aggressive and they're scared.
Yeah.
Using relationships are very, very common, and it's scary, like,
especially during the quarantine time, this time we happen to be, and you know, even the person that is the abuser, I you know, I feel like they may suffer from some mental illness as well. We can look at the predator. Sometimes we look at the predator and we look at the victim, but we don't understand. We don't take the time to try to dissect. Like, if we're having this many types of predators wearing the same jacket and the same shoes, swinging the same way, what, you know, what are we feeding these predators? Like, where are these predators come from? Why are they feeling this way? What is the background doing our research to figure out why are these men or women abusive? Because I know lesbian relationships where, you know, there are females getting abused by their female partner. So that right there to me, I was like, whoa, I forgot. Like, that can happen too. And sometimes people are violent through their mental illness and they take it out through others. And to me, that was very interesting. And I know men that are in relationships with other men and they have been abused by their boyfriend. And to me, those dynamics are just so weird because we're taught to think abusive situation is a male and a woman, and a man is always the one doing the beating or whatever it is. But because the dynamics in sex and culture now is so, it's different, you know, we got to be aware that there's women on women crime and men on men crime as well. And a lot of that probably can be because of mental illness. So recently in the headlines, Kanye West is there in the headlines, and Tamar, I heard about Tamar and a couple of other people. When I heard about their specific situations, instantly I'm just like, damn. I instantly feel like, man, I just pray for them, or I hope, you know, they can get through this. You know, I don't really get a vibe like, you know, that's good for them because they have money and they don't know how to live, because I don't know their demons. I don't know their sorrows. I don't know their true pain.
I love that old comedy. And it's interesting because I stopped listening to music, but I love gospel. And he made a gospel album, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful album. Like, it was amazing. But I also feel like something's cursed with the Kardashian family. And a lot of my friends tell me to shut up, but I mean, like, I really genuinely think, like, that family is just cursed. Like, something ain't right. Like, something in their spirit is not good. Definitely Kanye is sick, and he definitely needs to seek help. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the family he married into is no better.
Well, you know, I would... So I'm not a Kardashian fan at all, and I'm not even a big Kanye fan at all, but I do sympathize with the fact that he is human, and, you know, he openly, we already know he had a situation, and we already seen him breaking down, so I'm not in a place where I'm like, oh, you know, upset with him. I just realize he needs help, you know. When it comes to the Kardashians, I'm not, I don't keep up with them at all. I don't really have any issues with them. I just don't keep up with them. But I realized that because Kanye has an issue, and it seems as if the siblings or the moms, or, you know, the sisters have a history of just having different men, and those men are not lasting. I know lots of families where the women in the family are single, or they're holding on to relationships where it's really not healthy. Or, you know, I know a whole group of women that's in one family, then nobody ain't married, or everybody just trying to get a man, or everybody trying to, you know, race to get a man or to be in that relationship or to have a man. And when I think about the Kardashians, I do kind of feel like it is unfair to blame them. I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel like it's unfair to blame them on a whole because we don't really know the specifics, but based off, you know, what they put out there, they put their whole life out there. So it's because they put their whole life out there, pizza makes statements and judgments. So, you know, when you see, like, okay, all the guys that they're dating, everybody, something bad happened to everybody. That's like, you know, that wouldn't make someone think like something going on, you know? So it's, I don't really dislike them. I just don't really know much about them, but
I feel like for me, when I speak on Kanye and then like who he's married to, mm-hmm. I don't know, in a household, my mom always taught me like, a good woman will always structure a good man. Meaning, a good woman in role will be able to lead. A man will always know what he wants and he knows what he does, but a good woman will always lead the man into the right way, if this makes sense.
But what if that man has a mental illness?
And that's the problem.
Like,
that's,
you know, and then...
And that's the issue where we need to speak on. For me, is more like, I just see it as Kanye is reaching out, like, he's crying for help out loud, right? But it's like, you know, when you live with someone, like, say, for instance, like, you have a sibling and you're watching your sibling and they're, like, setting off with you. Like, you really not. It's like, I just wonder, like, and I know it's not something that I would get an answer to, but it's like, Kim, did you see these? Like, did you see what was going on with him? Like,
right.
Was he hiding it? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is,
if he was hiding it, then that's really scary, too.
Well, the thing is with, you know, the thing is, because we have so much access to celebrity, you know, I can see how a lot of scenarios can be made, because what you're saying seems valid, you know, and it could be valid, and it's, you know, but then there's so many other scenarios, and the fact that I like to be private. I don't want people to know certain things. So even I'm the type of person, if I was to get, like, be on a certain platform or money, I like low-key stuff. All my life I've been low-key. I like low-key stuff. So if I, you know, am in a situation where my husband has a condition or whatever, I don't feel the need to have to do a press conference and tell everybody, okay, so on Monday I did call the doctor. And then he yelled at me, and then he threatened to kill me and the kid. Like, I feel like Kim shouldn't have to kind of break down what she's done. They got four kids. I don't know her, and I'm not a Kardashian
fan. You know what's the crazy part?
But I just,
about it?
I just
society and how she has portrayed her life is to break everything down to the bottom.
Yeah, so because she put herself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now that Kanye is out here wilding, and we did know he was wilding. You know, even through his music, you could tell the man was wilding.
Mm-hmm.
It's like more like, all right, Kim, like, people are like, all right, Kim, what would you do? Like, what's going on?
Well, the
like,
thing is, how much...
You can't blame Kim.
You know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, Kanye's...
She got to take all of the kids.
She got, they got four kids. Like, I'm like, that's a lot. I don't even know, because I don't know if he was already...
The conversation that Kanye was even having was kind of crazy. The fact of what he was talking about, he talked about his other from over here talking about he almost killed his daughter.
Yeah.
He said, oh, North would never, my daughter would never do Playboy. So for me, it's more like, are you having a guilty conscience that you slept with a woman that had a sex tape? Like, at the end of the day, you kind of knew the kind of snake you was
He's having a mental breakdown. That's what's happening. And so he has a mixture of things in his mind that he's just blurting out. And he had a public mental breakdown. And I think, even on the topic of mental health, seeing that, I can't really hold him. I can't take it. I got to take it serious, but I can't be like, good for you. Yeah, I'm at a place where I can't say good for you, because he literally embarrassed himself over time and time again. And people, for me, I was saying this to somebody, I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to like be on a Kim side, but it's like, I know a lot of black women that would have left Kanye's ass a long time ago. She had baby number four. I was like, oh, Kim must be trying to get everybody out with the West last name. She got her four. She going to try her twos or something, because, you know, she's still with him.
And one thing I'll say is, there's some black women that stay with their man unconditional.
Oh, yeah. There are women and black women.
There are women out there that will, but I feel like
I don't know if I can
can't
do that.
Really speak on, like you said, I don't really know too much on the Kim side. Like I said, I've always loved Kanye. It's just like, now, like, these past few years of the Kanye that I've seen, I'm like, damn, like,
he's sick.
What's going on with him? But I feel like it's his mother. I feel like him losing his
mother.
It really triggered, because he went back to, like, the gospel music that he was doing, like, total praise. Like, you growing up, I'm a Methodist. I grew up in an African Methodist church. And this is the type of gospel music I grew up listening to. You remix Weak into a gospel song.
Wow.
Like, you really took, like, music that, like, we listen to, like, you know, SWV, Genuine, and you really turned it into gospel music. Like, he's in touch with his root. He knows what's up, and I feel like that gave him sense of wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
But something is losing him. Something is lacking, and he talks about his mother.
He's sick. He's, he has, he's, he, You know, he has a mental illness. The Tamar situation was something that...
I didn't get too deep into Tamar. I didn't
really get into it. Yeah, I don't know too much about it as well. But not even just hers. I don't know the specifics, but just suicide. Like, I've had conversations with people that, you know, have attempted. And just getting to that point, you know, I've heard people say, well, that's where you get all that money, you know. You know, money don't buy happiness. Money does not buy happiness, but it's like... You know, some people have mental illness, and I feel like sometimes we say things to discredit the fact that there are mental illness. If we understand that there is a mental illness, then, you know, yeah, we got to say, okay, that was crazy. They should never did that. But how mad should we get? How mad can we get with someone that's like, you know, and we know they're not right. So hearing that happen and then seeing her last, just seeing that, I'm like, man, like. That right there, and then hearing other stories about suicide, I'm like, it is something in the air. You know, you mentioned earlier about...
I've dealt with somebody really, really close to me committed suicide at a very young age. And to this day, you know, it awakened me. It was like my senior year going into high school. Mm. It awakened me, and it made me realize that, you know, personally for me, my objective in life is always to make sure I make sure, like, if I'm on bad terms with someone, at least we leave on a clean slate. I don't want to say nothing to trigger somebody, because I don't know if my last words may trigger them into something they may do.
Right.
Something that they can't take back. Mm-hmm. I think in the society that we live in, people forget that people are human, and people always say sticks and stuff they hit, like, break my mom's words. Words hurt.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time, I'd rather someone hit me in the arm or then cuss me out. Because I'm an overthinker and I think about words. You know, mm-hmm. and I tell myself all the time, thank God I've been strong in so many situations. Mm-hmm. Or when I used to get harassed or bullied or situations of abuse and relationships. Like, I'm glad I'm the woman I am today, because that could have been a breaking point and I could have said, I'm over it.
Right.
But, you know, I've never reached that point. So to hear other people tell me, like, you know, I reached the point because people don't like me, or I don't think I'm ever going to get accepted, is really crazy, because people say some crazy shit to people and they don't even realize that. Then they got to lay down at night and sleep on that.
Right. Like you're saying, the people that's saying these things.
And it's just like, I don't, like, it's just very interesting that, like, you know, we speak about mental health, but we also, like, and I always tell people, like, we need to check ourselves too to know what we are putting out there in the universe and what we're putting out to other people, because you don't know the status of somebody else.
That's true. You never know. People at work, at the end of the day, school.
It's like the word that I can say is empathy. Mm. A lot of people do lack empathy. A lot of new people like to be in other people's shoes. People don't know what it feels like. Granted, you may not know what it feels like, but that word empathy, to feel for somebody, to understand, or at least to seek help or give the resources for help, I think is needed. And we live in a generation where social media puts us in a race, where we think we're supposed to be somewhere, but in all reality, go at your own pace. And I have to learn that for myself. I have to go at my own pace. I can't keep competing with people that don't know me. And I can't keep competing on social media with people that might be putting up a fight.
Right.
You know? And
right.
I feel like social media and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram has given a lot of high rates of depression and a lot of things, because people feel as though, oh, he's 20 years old and he just bought a house. And he just does this on the third, but at the end of the day, like, I'm in no competition with nobody. And growing up, I was always taught, I don't know how people got what they got, exactly. So I can't compare myself to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just very interesting to know, like, even with celebrities, you would think celebrities have all the money to buy happiness, but sometimes
money don't buy happiness.
Know how to be a celebrity when people are down your throat and you got the rooms like Shade Room, TLC, TMZ, Ballers Alert,
watching you,
constant talking about you. Mm-hmm. So it's just very interesting. Like with the Cardi situation, God be to him, because I know that man is going through something.
It's definitely a serious situation. I definitely appreciate you giving your insight. You brought up some, you know, great points and suggestions, you know, and I think that's important. And if people want to, you know, hear more of your suggestions and kind of get into your groove, your room, I know you mentioned it earlier. I'm just going to ask you again to tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me spelling. On Instagram. Mm-hmm. I say Instagram because it's much easier to find all the other social media platforms. It's 109.room.
Okay. Yep. And then you definitely will be able to tune in and check out her podcast, check out her her social media, hit like, subscribe. I want to thank you for joining the Shut Up and Talk Up podcast for this session.
Thank you guys for reaching out.
Yeah, your page is dope, so we had to.
Well, I checked y'all out too. Thank you.
Nah, but the support is real, and it's definitely an important time, and we thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is the Shut Up and Talk Up podcast. Am I speaking to Cassandra? I am fine. Thank you for participating in the conversation. We really appreciate it. To it, we just wanted to know if you can tell our audience where they can find your platform.
Sure. So my name is Cassandra. I am host of the BLSS podcast. My podcast is available everywhere. Podcasts are streamed. And I'm also on Instagram. My at is at
BLSIS_podcast. Okay, great. Awesome. So we could definitely get into the topic today, and the topic is in reference to mental health. In today's climate, what are some of the things you think people can do to push the conversation?
I think, you know, to your point, you know, in our generation and our upbringing, people didn't talk about things. Like, you know, we might have like, a crazy cousin or a crazy uncle, but maybe the people around us are supposed to push them with, like, ridicule or shun them. I think it's important in modeling good behavior around our children. So,
oh, wow, yeah.
There is some mental health concerns in people around us. I think we need to show empathy, and that's what our children will notice. And I think, also think it's important to practice like good mental
like self-care
hygiene. Yes, yep. So teach our kids how to have good mental hygiene and self-care. So that's mental hygiene. That's like people monitoring the people that we watch, the people that we're around, all those things that affect our inner voice, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, self-care practices, like being mindful, like taking time out to unplug from the TV and from social media, to do things that you know, enrich us. So that's important for us as I say older people.
No, I get it. the ones, we're not in elementary, so I get it.
Exactly, yeah. So the ones who are, you know, I guess, influencing our households and our communities to model those things for the people behind us, coming up behind us.
Yeah, I that's definitely important. You know, when I think about kids growing up, I wonder if peer pressure affects, well, I think it does, you know, peer pressure affects children and how they think. And, you know, and when I think about online cyberbullying, when I think about certain things, I think that peer pressure also adds to the kids' mental health as well. And even knowing how to deal with that. Some kids, they just don't know how to deal with the words, or they don't know how to, and it's tough. I'm not a parent, but I can imagine, you know, having to see my child in pain because people are being mean or negative to them, and that can impact them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, for sure. And you know, my kids are still small. My oldest is 5, right? Uh-huh. But I always say I'm so lucky in a way that I was not born now. I was born back in the 80s because, you know, when we were bullied at school, we knew that there was an escape. We go to school, they were, and we go home where people loved us.
Right.
In ideal situations.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, because of the online nature of things, you can even escape your bullies, you know what I mean? You can leave school physically and go home, but your phone is still always with you.
Yeah.
And even if you unplug your phone for, like, just, you know, take some time out of social media, that person could still be dragging your name and saying unkind things about you while you're not even online. It's a different time. It's a really different world. And I think it's so, so, so important for us to be present and know what's happening with our kids online, because they may not come to us, right? So have those eyes and have those, like, safeguards. It's really being involved in your parents' life, like, in a way that I don't think our parents were involved in ours.
Right, right.
You gotta really be on it.
No. Yeah, I agree. The fact that you mentioned the safeguards, You know, those things are important as well. And just even giving children the opportunity to discuss or to express themselves.
I like the fact that you always express yourself, because honestly, there's so much power in your voice and in your opinion and your point of view. It took me like years to finally allow myself to express myself. Just because of the way I was raised. I was raised like, you know, you should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
I really took that and ran with it, because as a kid, and to be honest, even now as an adult, like, I don't want to upset people. I don't want to ruffle feathers, right? So I'm fighting being a people pleaser. So as a kid, I definitely was a people pleaser. I didn't want to, like, upset my parents or people who are raising me, right? So I would be quiet. My son is the total opposite. Like, if he feels away, the whole world's going to know about it. And as much as it drives me insane, I love it, and I just hope that he carries that, and I'm trying to foster that he carries that throughout his life, because it's important, especially as, you know, Black people, that we don't make ourselves small, you know, like, be you, like, your fullest, truest sense of yourself. Don't put other people down, and don't, you know, be mindful of how others may feel, but if you feel a certain way, it's okay to express that constructively, you know, and mindfully.
You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, because I've always been very expressive, like if I feel like there was unjust done, I'm also the middle child. I don't know if that matters. I have five sisters and one brother, so I don't know if that's why I was always having to re-explain myself. Also, when it comes to friendship, you know, mental health, you know, having healthy friendships. I think if you have a friendship that it isn't conducive to your lifestyle or isn't uplifting you, you know, having people around, you know, having people around just for time's sake. Okay, we've been friends for this long, you know, but if you're not really feeling, I guess, rejuvenated or feeling like it's helping, or that person accepting your help, or you guys are growing, or, I, you know, what are your thoughts on toxic friendships that can affect your mental health?
Oh, man, move on. Sometimes it's scary, because if you've been friends with a person for like 10, 20 years, it's scary to not have that person in your life. But if you do an inventory and you do a checklist, and that person takes more than they give to the relationship, or they cause more heartache and pain than they bring you joy, it's okay to step back and put AIDS. You know, it doesn't have to be an ugly situation where you like test secrets and you backbite and all that stuff. No. It was, you know, just people fall apart. It's completely normal, and it's okay. You don't have people around just to have them around for time's sake.
Yeah, that's, I think that's also, you know, that's also something that I think people struggle with. Just, you know, I would have to find a new friend, or we've been through this, or, you know, and I've had to separate myself from friendships as well, too. And sometimes you even separate and you guys either come back or have, you know, a conversation later on, and that space was needed so you guys can grow in your own individual worlds, you know.
And, you know, I've had similar situations, and it's important to look and to look in the mirror and be like, you know what, am I being a toxic friend here?
Right.
Because we have to be real with ourselves. We're not always right. We're not always in the just perfect, right? It's not always the other person's fault. Sometimes a friendship falls apart, and it's not their fault. You may have a lot to play with that, and that's okay. It's a moment for you to, like, self-reflect on how you can be better while you guys are apart. You guys might come back together, you know, stronger than ever. You might not, and it's okay. Like, there's that saying that goes that, you know, some friendships are for a season, or a reason, or a lifetime, whatever that goes.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I know there... You know, I'm the type of person, when I need to separate or disconnect, I'm not a ghoster. I like to call people or see people and have a conversation, let them aware, because I'm not good at just ignoring someone because they bother me or I feel like I don't want to be around them. I like to tell people directly, like, hey, so I think our friendship needs to be on hold. I've done that, and it's weird. Or I think we need to take some time, you know, spend some time apart. And I've been doing that, like,
for a while. If I, not often, because I don't have to do that often, but I've done that. And just even getting the courage, building the courage to have those conversations, if, you know, if it's worth your mental health and, you know, you being feeling secure, you have to do it. Sometimes separation is needed. Even from the world, and like you said earlier, unplugging from social media, separation isn't always a bad thing.
Right, right. Yep, I agree with you 1,000%. And you said the key word is it takes courage. It absolutely takes courage. Because in the honest, in my past, she also distant past, like I'm a ghoster. Like I was just like step away for a little bit and then I come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have the courage to have those uncomfortable conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely important. And you mentioned something about both parties can play a part. Even in certain situations, I know that I have to take responsibility of what I've done or things I've said. And I do have I have a dry sense of humor at times, and I'm really a caring person, and I'm protective of the, you know, my friends and even of strangers. I'm the little person always fighting for the big person. You know, growing up, my parents, they just always taught us how to respect people. You're like, you know, even if you see somebody that's disabled or, you know, don't laugh at those kids or don't. My parents always let us know you don't do that to people. You treat people with kindness, but also take responsibility of your actions. And, you know, even admitting if, you know, when I was a kid, I remember I had to, like, if I told a lie or if I didn't, you know, I don't know, didn't do a chore or whatever it is, I had to be mindful of always telling the truth. My mother would say, if you tell me the truth, you won't get a big beating. Like, you know, you tell the truth. She always, and then, you know, and hearing that, you know, and there were times where I just said, okay, mommy, I didn't wash all the dishes. I hit a pot underneath the sink or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And she would be upset, but she would be like, okay, you're not going to get a spanking or whatever, but if you do this again, this is, you know, but she would show me, look, you said the truth and you wasn't reprimanded in the way you thought you were. You're going to be reprimanded, but you still see what happens when you tell the truth. I think it's important for parents to. And I'm not a parent, so I'm not trying to tell people how to parent. But for me, it helped when my mom told me that if I told her the truth, she kept her word and didn't spank me.
1,000%, I get that. And I had a similar experience growing up. So my thing was, I never wanted to be told on. Like, I never had anybody go tattletale on me, so I would always tell on myself.
Right? Oh, okay. You smart. You smart.
It sounds better from the fire now. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
And that's how I still am now. Like, if I didn't do something right, if I didn't meet a deadline, like, I'm going to come to you first. I don't want my coworker, my colleague to in front of it. And I think I do the same thing that your mom did with my kids.
Okay.
If you tell me the truth, like, we'll have a conversation, and that's it. Then it's not going to be like a punishment. You know what I mean? This is going to have a conversation on how to move forward. Because one thing that I've learned that a lot of our parents didn't do right is that they were like the police, like, always telling us what to do, what not to do, and it was always like a lot of punishment involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when we turn like 18, 19, 20, they want to be our friends. But we never had that relationship.
Right.
So I think it's important to build that relationship. Of course, you're the parent and you have to steer them right, but you have to foster that trust throughout the whole lifetime, so that when the child actually is an adult, you already have a relationship already in place.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Just to switch gears a bit, you mentioned the workplace. What are your thoughts on mental health in the workplace as well?
I think it's incredibly important, and I'm in a new workplace now. I think it'll be a year and about a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first experience that I've had where the leadership team is really invested in the mental health of everyone.
Wonderful.
But I wonder if it's because we are all in the same boat in terms of the social distancing.
Okay.
Because they're impacted, now they're thinking, oh, shoot, if I'm feeling away, I know everybody's feeling away, too. either way, I think it's great. I think it's so important. My manager specifically is always, she's bugging me to take some days off. Like, she's like, you need to take days off. Like, you need to figure out if you can go somewhere and plug this, unplug for a bit. You need to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I've had that experience with them. Normally, it's like, I'm fighting for the days that I worked for, right?
Right.
That I earned. But yes.
No, that has to be, that is a wonderful thing. Your mental health is so crucial to your work performance.
Oh, for sure. It's everything. Mental health is crucial to not only your work, just your life performance. Because if you are, I'll be honest, I've struggled with depression for years. And when I'm in that space, like when I'm in like the depressed mode, it trickles into everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mentally as clear, I'm just not as clear. Of course, I don't have as much motivation. My personality is just not what it usually is because I'm struggling with it myself. Like, your mental health affects every single thing. But to your point, it affects your work performance even more because thinking about, you need to have like your full brain capacity to do whatever job that you do. If half of your brain is fighting its own self, essentially, like fighting its own thoughts and doesn't have it to get up for it, whatever your task is, it just makes it so much harder. And it affects everything.
It does. It's so important. Just to shift gears again, when it comes to, I don't know your background in regards to your religion, if you have a religion, but what do you think or how do you think religious practices help mental health? Like,
I grew up Christian, so my household was very strict, right? So I think two things. Religion itself, like the act of doing things, like performing for God is how I look at it, could be detrimental to your mental health. Because at least the Christian faith, you're taught to, just, this is just depression, that's just the devil, and you take your problems to God, and that's that, right? However, I believe that spirituality can positively affect your mental health.
Yeah.
So having that, cultivating that relationship with your higher power, your God, whatever you call it, I think it's so important. Having that routine helps us to stop the go that we're always going, to stop and talk to you and call on help from somebody, from a greater power, from a source that knows everything.
Right.
And knows that you're going to get through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows us to pause, and it gives us hope. Because sometimes we look around, we look in the news, and we feel that's happening, and we're just like, oh my gosh, it's never going to
happen. Yeah.
But having that relationship with your God helps keep things into perspective. Like, this is a moment in time, and my God didn't bring me here to suffer forever.
Right.
So it helps.
Yeah. Lastly, do you think that individuals that have mental illness should be held accountable when they commit, acts within a community that can be detrimental or have been detrimental?
Oh, that's so hard.
And when I say accountable, it could be, I mean, they may, some people may think they shouldn't be accountable, but some people think they should be held accountable. But the thing is, the accountability may not be like locking you away in a cell with no one. It still needs to be some type of, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
That's one of the tough one. I think it depends on what the offense is, right? This is tough.
It is. It is tough. I've had, I will share my thoughts on it. I think that if we are aware that someone has a mental health, then that means we know what comes with that, right? And there are different levels to mental illness. I'm sorry. If we're aware that they have a mental illness, there's different levels of it. There's different categories, names. actions. So people react differently with their mental illness. And mm-hmm. if we're aware of that, I think that that should be taken into consideration. When I think about mass shootings, when mm-hmm. I think about someone with a mental illness abusing or sexually abusing children or another person, mm-hmm. I do think they should be held accountable. I think mm-hmm. that age and how dependent on their illness, those things should be all taken in mind into yeah. in effect. And I think with them being held accountable, I don't think something like physical harm to them, but you know, some, I think therapy needs to be really like on another level for them.
I feel like in this country we do are suffering from mental illness.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I think this won't be like a cop out answer, but I think really that's where
the gray area,
the issue is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
if they had the help.
Yes, if they had the help, they wouldn't get to the point where they're hurting themselves mm-hmm. or others.
Okay.
It's so hard to get any type of mental health help in this country. Things are getting a little bit better, like it's becoming more accessible for people. But mm-hmm. for the most part, even if you have the best health insurance,
mm-hmm.
your mental health is not covered. Like seeing a therapist, you're going to have to pay out of pocket.
Yes, yes.
Seeing a psychiatrist for medication management is one thing, mm-hmm. but like medication is good. But right. you also need to like the tools to work through whatever the issue, the underlying issue might be as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And then on top of that, then a lot of times what I see with people who have, who may have more issues like schizophrenia or psychosis, mm-hmm. like they end up homeless. They just don't have the social. Yeah. The social framework is just not there.
It's not.
And substance abuse comes into it because it's easier to go buy, like, you know, like street drugs than it is to buy expensive pharmaceuticals to help you. So people are, like, self-medicated on the streets. If they're on your high, you do other things that you probably would not do in your, quote, right mind. So
you're basically saying you're saying prevention is better than cure. I think my mom would say something like that. I sound like my mom, but no. If we deal with it in early stages and we implement it in the schools and how we in our families and we have accessible to communities, we won't have to really worry about reprimanding someone that commits an act like that because the percentage that wouldn't be high.
Yes.
And now we know we've played our part as a community. I get it.
Yeah. And you said the key word too is community. I feel like what's happening in America is that we don't have a sense of community.
Mm.
It's like we just, it's every man for themselves. As long as I'm okay, my family's okay, I don't care what's happening next door or across the street or definitely across town. You know what I mean? And that's why we have so many issues here.
Yeah.
Like we have no sense of togetherness.
Wow, that was definitely a great point you mentioned in regards to community. That's helpful because it's important, especially when your mental health, you know, the village, you know, that type of conversation. And I mean, in closing, I want to say, you know, thank you so much for participating. You know, even with the questions that I asked, you were really on point with it. And your last statement about community is so important because we are in a place where right now we realize we need each other. And, you know, just in closing, I'm happy to be a part of your community. And we definitely encourage our listeners to go over, check out your platform, you know, subscribe, follow, look into it. And we thank you for participating.
Yes, thank you for having me. You have a good one.
No problem. You too. Have a great day, okay?
You too.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Freeze. I know. Just when the conversation was getting even better. To hear the continuation of this conversation, please tune into episode
107
right now so you can get the rest of this conversation and more.